mentioned before. In order to know which period of her life the fragment that she was presently narrating belonged to, it was necessary to make careful deductions, though no amount of deduction would work in some cases. She would narrate events she had witnessed with her own eyes, as well as events that she had never witnessed. They killed the leopards, they killed the wolves, they killed the bears. Shooting the bears took the most time. Even after the two gigantic animals had taken dozens of rifle slugs, they continued to crash against the bars of their cage, roaring at the men and slobbering, fangs bared. Unlike the cats, who were more willing to accept their fate, or who at least appeared to accept it, the bears seemed unable to comprehend the fact that they were being killed. Possibly for that reason, it took them far longer than was necessary to reach a final parting with that temporary condition known as life. When the soldiers at last succeeded in extinguishing all signs of life in the bears, they were so exhausted they were ready to collapse on the spot. The lieutenant reset his pistol safety catch and used his hat to wipe the sweat dripping from his brow. In the deep silence that followed the killing, several of the soldiers seemed to be trying to mask their sense of shame by spitting loudly on the ground. Spent shells were scattered about their feet like so many cigarette butts. Their ears still rang with the crackling of their rifles. The young soldier who would be beaten to death by a Soviet soldier 17 months later in a coal mine near Irkutsk took several deep breaths in succession, averting his gaze from the bears' corpses. He was engaged in a fierce struggle to force back the nausea that had worked its way up to his throat. In the end, they did not kill the elephants. Once they confronted them, it became obvious that the beasts were simply too large. The soldiers' rifles looked like silly toys in their presence. The lieutenant thought it over for a while and decided to leave the elephants alone. Hearing this, the men breathed a sigh of relief. Strange as it may seem, or perhaps it does not seem so strange, they all had the same thought. It was so much easier to kill humans on the battlefield than animals in cages, even if on the battlefield one might end up being killed oneself. Those animals that were now nothing but corpses were dragged from their cages by the Chinese workers, loaded onto carts, and hauled to an empty warehouse. There, the animals, which came in so many shapes and sizes, were laid out on the floor. Once he had seen the operation through to its conclusion, the lieutenant returned to the zoo director's office and had the man sign the necessary documents. Then the soldiers lined up and marched away in formation, with the same metallic clanking they had made when they came. The Chinese workers used hoses to wash off the black stains of blood on the floors of the cages, and with brushes they scrubbed away the occasional chunk of animal flesh that clung to the walls. When this job was finished, the workers asked the vet with the blue-black mark on his cheek how he intended to dispose of the corpses. The doctor was at a loss for an answer. Ordinarily, when an animal died at the zoo, he would call a professional to do the job. But with the capital now bracing itself for a bloody battle, with people now struggling to be the first to leave this doomed city, you couldn't just make a phone call and get someone to run over to dispose of an animal corpse for you. Summer was at its height, though, and the corpses would soon begin to decompose. Even now, black swarms of flies were massing. The best thing would be to bury them. An enormous job, even if the zoo had access to heavy equipment, but with the limited help available to them now, it would be impossible to dig holes large enough to take all the corpses. The Chinese worker said to the vet, "Doctor, if you will let us take the corpses whole, we will dispose of them for you. We have plenty of friends to help us, and we know exactly where to do the job. We will take them outside the city and get rid of every last trace. We will not cause you any problems. But, in exchange, we want the hides and meat, especially the bear meat. Everybody will want that. Parts of bear and tiger are good for medicine. They will command a high price. And though it's too late now to say this, we wish you had aimed only at their heads. Then the hides would have been worth a good deal more. The soldiers were such amateurs. If you had let us take care of it from the beginning, we wouldn't have done such a clumsy job." The vet agreed to the bargain. He had no choice. After all, it was their country. Before long, 10 Chinese appeared, pulling several empty carts behind them.